This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, George. It's an amazing privilege, as always, to be with you guys tonight. I'm just so aware of the presence of the Lord in this house tonight. It's just that last song. It's very difficult to preach after a song like that. You know, it just reminds you of the cross of Jesus and where we would have been without Him. You know, so let us take a moment and let us quiet our hearts. I know we are here for different reasons. And we've got pressing questions on our hearts. But the most important question has been settled already. Does the King of the universe love me? How much does He love me? That question has been settled forever. So let us close our eyes. Father, we thank You for Your presence. Lord, in this place, and we acknowledge You, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge, Lord, that what we are experiencing is made possible only through the blood of Jesus. And all of our beings, Lord, shout out, hallelujah. What a Savior. And what a friend. Thank You. You are that friend that sticks closer than a brother. And with all of our beings, God, we just want to say thank You for loving us first, for pursuing us and being relentless in Your love. We surrender anew to Your purpose and Your design for our lives, Lord, and we thank You that You will have Your way with us tonight. Thank You for every heart in this room, Lord, that You will touch. I yield myself to You again, Father, and I pray that let not be my words, Lord, but Your words tonight that will bring the change. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I have the wonderful privilege of sharing with you a couple of thoughts around that thorny issue of Mr. and Mrs. Right. And I simply have the privilege of laying the foundation. Next week, Pastor Ross from Durbanville is going to come and he's going to share around the issue of what singles should know about sex. What is it that you should know around the way that God has created you as a sexual human being? We know from Scripture that the sexual drive is holy. It's been given to us by God. But we also understand the devil wants to push that in a different direction. And Pastor Ross will come in and he will share on the topic. And then Pastor Christelle will finish off around just family life and the value of family. And so I want to encourage you to come to each one of the next couple of weeks. It's going to be amazing. And all that we are going to try and do is to share some principles from our lives, things the Lord has done in our lives. And I know that in a room like this tonight, each one of us, we're on a different journey. We're in different phases of our lives. Can I just see how many of you guys in this room, it would sort of be a weird sermon for you to come to if you are married already. But I just want to see how many of you in this room are married. Can you just raise your hand? Wow, quite a few of you. Awesome. Now, how many of you have been married for 10 years? Anybody married 10 years longer? Yep. Okay, everybody married here for maybe 20 years or longer? 20 years. Wow, that's awesome. Okay. Any 30 years? Anybody married for 30 years or longer? Yes. You're absolute legends. There's a couple. There's a couple at the back. And 40. Do we have any 40 in the house? Okay. But you can go so long, all those of you that are married, and then you can come back during the altar call. No, but thank you for joining us, for being with us this evening. It's wonderful to have you. Can I see who of you guys are dating? Who's dating? All right. Or courting, if you want to call it. All right. Okay. I hope the person next to you isn't surprised that you, if you raised your hand, that you, okay, sorry if I put you on the spot there. Okay, and then I don't want to ask, because I don't know sitting next to you, but who wants to date? Who wants to call? Who wants to be married? Let me put it that way. Who wants to be married? Okay. All right. Okay, fantastic. Okay, awesome. So I'm speaking to a willing audience. That's amazing. Okay, I'm glad we could establish that. I share my house. Just quickly, guys, if you can put that photo up there. Do you have the family photo? Do we have it? Okay. So that's myself, obviously, and my beautiful family. Nikki, we've been married now for 15 years. And that's our little boy, Jonathan, who's 13. Annika, right in the middle. She's just turned 10. And Kate, Rose, she's just turned 7. Okay, and so that's my family. Through the grace of God, I have an amazing family. I'm married to the most gorgeous babe in the whole world. She's the joy of my life. She's my best friend. She keeps me rooted and grounded. She challenges me. And she's been instrumental in my journey. She has taught me so much about the Lord's grace. And there's no way that I could bring this message tonight without actually just acknowledging her. And she couldn't be here tonight. She's having to be with the kids at home. But so much of my story, obviously, could not have taken place without her. And the Lord has done amazing things in our lives in these last 15 years. And we've been through some ups and we've been through some downs. We've been through some challenging times and some amazing times. And before I continue, I just want to show you a little clip. The Hitch one. Can you just, I think some of you guys have seen that movie, but can you just play us that clip very quickly before we continue?
I just asked if it was dying.
That's where I come in.
Excuse me. By asking if it was diet, she took it as you trying to imply that you thought she was fat. Go get a red rose, get a regular Coke, tell her she's everything you never knew you always wanted. Any problems, give me a call.
From Columbia Pictures.
Did you ever hear this guy they call the date doctor?
Urban myth.
Really?
Absolutely.
I was told you were the guy that helps guys like me.
Nobody's perfect.
That's pathetic.
Pathetic? But one man.
My name is Alex Hitchens. Call me Hitch.
Can help you come close.
Let me give you my number. Do you have a pen?
He can show you the moves.
Elbows, 6 inches from the waist, 90 degree angles. This is home. You see somebody you know, I don't want none of this. Don't bite your lip. Stop biting your lip. None of this.
Okay, see, now that's what I need to be learning.
In the club with my homies, trying to get a little VI, down on the low key.
Don't ever do that again.
He can teach you the rules.
It's really necessary.
Have you seen your back?
The guy with all the answers.
Whenever I'm around, I just can't get my stuff right. I saw that going differently in my mind.
We'll have some questions of his own.
Is it me or is it just a little itchy in here?
Wow, are you okay?
Well, I know what's happening.
You think that I'm in a stressful state because I'm trying to make a good impression?
No, I think you have food allergies.
Oh.
Will Smith.
It is not that serious.
Hitch, the cure for the common man.
8 out of 10 women believe that the first kiss will tell them everything that they need to know. The secret is to go 90% of the way and hold.
Show me the magic. Show me the magic.
What the hell was that?
I showed you the magic.
No, I said come 90 and then I come 10. You don't go the whole 100.
All right. Okay, thank you. Is there anybody that can relate to relationships being a little bit crazy? All right. Sometimes you think you know everything, and then the next moment you actually realize you don't have a clue. Okay. Now, I do disappoint you, but I'm not Hitch. Okay. I'm not here to give you all the answers to all of your questions. And if you only apply those couple of principles, then all of your life will be sorted out. Because even as Mr. Hitch discovered that sometimes all of his principles put into context with another woman, they don't work. Right. Each person is unique. Each person's relationship is unique. And that is what I want you to remember when we start talking about relationships and finding Mr. or finding Mrs. Right. It's important to understand how uniquely unique each relationship is. Having said that, there are a bunch of principles that we have to look at and things that can make it easier for us if we apply them, and things that can make it a whole lot more difficult for us if we ignore them. So I just want to lay a foundation for you guys before we continue into the rest of the sermon. So the first verse I want to read for you is Psalm 37 verse 23. Psalm 37 verse 23. It says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And within the Bible, within the biblical context, we understand that a good man, from a scriptural perspective, is not someone that does all the right things all the time. From a biblical perspective, if we understand the story from Genesis to Revelation, a good man is someone who is in right standing with God, who's got a relationship with God. In other words, he understands and she understands that they belong to God, that God loves them, God has given his life for them, and they've given their lives to God. In other words, their relationship with God defines everything about them. And so all the good deeds that they do, all the amazing things that come out of their lives, come out of their life, not because they're wanting to earn God's love, but because they know that they already have his love. And so they perform, they do, they achieve, they win someone's heart, not to try and prove themselves, but simply as an outflow of love. That's a good man from a biblical perspective. It's not somebody that comes to church, reads his Bible, reaches people, goes on mission, does a lot of things for God. That is not a good man. That could be a religious man. That could be a churchgoer. But that is not necessarily, from a biblical perspective, a good man. A good man from a biblical perspective is someone who is in right standing with God, a righteous man or woman. And I know that that's you guys. For the majority of you, that's who you are. That your relationship with God is crucial for you. It is important to you. You understand his love. You know that God has roped you in. He has won you over and you belong to him. All right. And then he continues and he says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Okay, so they are directed by God. They are ordered by God. They are commanded by God. But we don't always follow in those commands, do we? We don't always follow those directions. Look at it as railway tracks that God has laid down for your life. And we've got a choice whether we're going to allow our lives to run on the railway tracks of his commandments or not. I was sitting in the barbershop the other day, having my boy's hair being cut, and just killing some time. And then inevitably you look at the television screen and there's an old Super Rugby game on. I think old Stephen de Blanche was still playing for the Sharks, and Sharks against the Bulls. It was an old game. So I watched that for a little bit. And then I started just flipping through some magazines. And then there's the inevitable Men's Health magazine. All right. And so picked up the magazine. I thought, let me just see whether this magazine has changed. It was the last time I looked at it about 3 years or so ago. There were sort of two or three main things in there. Okay, how you can get a promotion at work, how you can get ripped, and how you can get a girl. That's sort of the main three things in there. And then there's some diet tips in there, some budget tips in there, style tips. But those are mostly the three most important things. Getting ahead at your work, getting the best physical physique that you can, and getting the best girl that you can. Well, needless to say, it was still the same. The cover model was different. Some of the tips were different, but it's the same thing. And then they've got a section in there on relational health. And so I was curious, seeing I'm going to come and do a sermon on relationships, I thought, hey, maybe Men's Health can give me some good tips. And I know some of you might be reading Men's Health, and I thought, I can connect with you. And so I'm looking at Men's Health, and I'm paging through it. And then they've got this panel of experts, right? Three ladies, one who's married, two others who are not married. And so the guys write questions, and then the ladies answer it. And so the one question is, my number is very high. Does it matter? So I was a little bit, what does it mean, my number? He has a phone number. What? My number is very high. So I started reading through it. I discovered, okay, that number. You know, the amount of people that I've taken to bed, the amount of people I've slept with. And so the consensus from these three women was basically this, that girls are freaked out by the mere thought that men would have slept with other girls. And so this one girl shares that she dated a musician, and his number was in the hundreds. And so she couldn't go on this first date with him without thinking that he must have an STD. He must have. And so the article sort of goes about that, but then they sort of ended off by saying, you know, the most important thing is just to be honest. Tell her your number and have yourself tested, because there's nothing as appealing as an honest guy. I thought, oh, honesty is a good virtue, but surely faithfulness is an even greater virtue. Surely protecting yourself and the person that you are wanting to date, there's an even more important virtue than just honesty. Is that all that you can give? Honesty. Just be honest with her. Tell her your number. And, you know, she appreciates that. And I thought, oh my goodness, if this is the advice that we are giving to our young men, we are in serious trouble. But isn't that, unfortunately, the world in which we are living more and more and more? And I've got so much respect for you guys as young people. The fact that you are in church. Maybe some of your friends would look at you and say, you have fallen on your head going to a church. And then you're going to shofar as well. So you must be doubly fallen on your head. Yeah? You are wanting to live your life according to God's principles, but the world isn't making it easy. And so I've got tremendous respect for the fact that you are here and you are wanting to listen to some principles from Scripture. And we understand that the Bible says that the Lord has got some commands for us, some directions for us. And it gives us an encouragement here. It says, the Lord delights in His way. And I just want to say this at the beginning, that God delights in you as a child of God. You've got to know that. You've got to understand that before we start talking about finding your soulmate or that Mr. or Mrs. Perfect, you've got to understand that nobody in your entire life will find as much joy in you than what God does. No one will delight as greatly in you than what God does. Nobody will be as excited about you as God is at this present moment. You bring a smile to His face. He's excited about you. He's excited about His plans for your life. He loves hanging around with you. You have got to know that. Because that is one of the fundamental things that draws us to relationships. It's this question. Does this person find joy in me? Isn't it so? You want to know that the person I'm spending my time with actually likes being with me. They're not just doing this out of obedience to God. The Lord has given me a word, and so I will spend time with you. Now, you want to know that this person wants to be with me. Isn't that so? You want to know that somebody delights in me as I am. Before I've done anything great or before I've achieved anything, I want to know that somebody delights in me. Part of the reason why I was prepared to travel, I was teaching at Port Reuse many years ago, and part of the reason why I was prepared to travel to Beaufort West once a month, where my fiancé lived at that stage, was because I was looking forward to those first couple of moments especially. When I haven't seen her for a month, and I arrive at that petrol station where she waited for me, and she would run towards me, would get out of the car, and my wife, back then, my fiancé, would run towards me, embrace me, and just that hug, just hugging me, holding on to me, seeing the look on her face, that I just made her day, that her face lit up in that moment, did something to my masculine heart, inspired me to drive again. I was supposed to save money for the wedding. That's why I lived in the reservoir Ruiz. But I spent more money on petrol than I actually saved. Because I was just like, this is amazing just being with her. And still going home and knowing that she delights in me. Something fundamental in each one of our hearts. But you know what? Even as much as she delighted in me, I didn't need her delight to define me. Because I knew that somebody else delighted in me. Whether I was with her or without her. And you have got to know that. You have got to know that God, the creator of the universe, delights in you. And here's my encouragement to you. Verse 24. Though he falls, or though she might fall, he or she shall not be utterly cast down. If you are a child of God, the promise of God is this, that your journey will not be perfect. You will be on this road. You will be a child in whom God delights. You will be someone that God loves, and you love God, and you want to do the right thing. But there will be moments when you will stumble and you will fall. There will be moments when you make mistakes. There will be moments when you look back at that episode, that chapter in your life, and you say, man, I wish I could have done that over. But the promise of God is that even though you might fall, even though some of you might have fallen down hard, and you might be in this room so ashamed of the things that you have done. If you are within God's grace, in a relationship with Him, He is telling you, you will not be utterly cast down. In other words, you are not a hopeless case. You are not a hopeless case. You are not without hope. It doesn't matter whether you come from, whether you get musician with and your number is in the hundreds. You are not without hope. Not if you are a good man in good standing with God. Not if you pull closer to Him. He can change anything. You know, I'm marrying a couple at the end of the year. And they dated since they were, I think, in grade 9 or something ridiculous like that. Getting married soon. What an amazing story, because their mom and their dad loved the Lord Jesus Christ, taught them, raised them in the ways of God. Amazing, you know. But then I met someone who's so influential in my life now, and he and his wife only came to salvation when they were in their 40s. And they'd made a lot of mistakes, but God is busy restoring them, and God is using them instrumentally now in the lives of church leaders. So you are never without hope. You are never without a second chance. And I want to say that to you, because very often when we talk about finding Mr. or Mrs. Right, and we talk about relationships, you can feel very condemned very quickly because of the things that you have done, things that were done to you. And that's not the purpose of this message. I will share some principles with you, and some of you might feel, man, I wish I'd known this 10 years ago, 20 minutes ago, or whatever. I wish I'd known this. I could have done some things different. Do not despair. God is still on your side, and He can work anything, anything. He can work anything into your good in your life. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's heart plans his way. There's some of you guys in this room, and you've got some plans. Plan for a movie, a date. Take her away for a weekend. You've got some good plans. Some Facebook spying. I know some of you guys, you do a lot of Facebook spying on the girls. That's a plan as well. Maybe not a brilliant plan, but it's a plan. Okay, but it's a plan nonetheless. And all of us, when we engage around this topic of relationships, what is true is that we've got plans. We've got plans for the people we want to date, the person that we want to court so that we can get married to. We've got plans. And a lot of those plans, unfortunately, a lot of those plans are in reaction to the things that we saw when we grew up. So I want to have a girl who's just like my mom. Or I will never marry a girl who's like my mom. You know, you're between that very often. I'm going to marry a guy who's just like my dad, or I'm never going to get close to a guy who's like my dad. You know, so you've got plans in your heart, and none of your plans are neutral. None of your plans are neutral. Your plans are motivated by something. It's motivated by something. I'm making certain plans. And I want to encourage you to think about your plans. Why do you have the plans that you have? The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. And if we don't think about why I do the things that I do, you can end up in a relationship having made your plans. And you end up in a place where you're like, oh my goodness, how did I get here? Because you never thought about your plans. You never thought about, why do I want to have a girlfriend? Why do I want to have a boyfriend? Am I lonely? Do I need a trophy girl so I can brag to my friends? Is this the in thing that everybody in Shofar has a girlfriend at a certain age? Or what? Why do I want a girlfriend? Why do I want a boyfriend? Think about that. It's important. And what we want to do tonight is we want to close the gap between the plans in our hearts and the ways of God. God says, Scripture says, the Lord directs our steps. In other words, He speaks a word over us. He speaks a direction over our lives. We've got plans. The Lord has got a direction for us. And sometimes our plans want to go this way, and God's plans want to go that way. God's direction. And right in the middle is our free will. Am I going to choose to follow God's direction, or am I going to choose to follow my own heart? And some of you guys tonight, you're going to come, you're going to lay some of your plans down. You're going to say, God, I want to do things your way. You're going to close that bridge. You're going to close that gap. You're going to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And you're going to close that gap tonight. And it's going to set you free, and it's going to change your life. Some of you are already in the direction that God wants you to go, and you're just going to find further encouragement and strengthening on that. Some of you were on that road, and you deviated, and your plans led you astray. Maybe the plans of your heart were motivated by the lust of the flesh. In a moment of weakness, you did something that you wish you hadn't done. God is here to encourage you. Say, it's one prayer away of getting back into God's direction. One prayer away. One step of honesty in the light of God away. So what I want to do tonight is I want to take you to a story in Scripture that's meant a lot to me in Genesis 24, verse 1. And from this story, I want to share a couple of principles with you that I believe will help you in your discovery and in your thinking about finding Mr. or Mrs. Right. Because as you look at that sort of that saying or that title, finding Mr. or Mrs. Right, there are two components, two big components. The one is the finding bit, in other words, the process. And the other one is the Mr. or the Mrs. Right. So in other words, what does Mr. or Mrs. Right look like? And I think many of you might be here because you want me to tell you what that Mr. or Mrs. Right look like. In case you haven't guessed yet, I can't. Because your Mr. Right and my Mr. Right and Mrs. Right, thanks Jason, is different. Because there's something in you, there's something shaped in you that will be drawn to someone, and God has created you in that way. But I've found that if we don't pay attention to the journey, to the process, to the seeking, to the finding, we can very often find or seek that Mr. or Mrs. Right in the wrong way, even if that person is the right one. And because we've sought for them in the wrong way, we do damage to the right one. And in my journey as a pastor, I've discovered the amazing thrill of standing in front of people who are excited and in awe of one another and the beauty they see in one another. And those are some of the most amazing moments in my job. I get paid to do incredible things. I love it. I get paid to fulfill my passion. And one of them is to be walking a road with couples who love one another and want to do things right. The tough bit is having to sit with people and you have to pick up the pieces of broken marriages. You've got to sit with someone. You've got to talk about why didn't you wait? You've got to talk about how do you re-engage with your wife because you had secrets in your heart that you didn't tell her beforehand. Or you have to speak to a girl who struggles to open up to her husband sexually because she had given something away before the time. Or she had allowed him to force her or whatever. And you're like, okay, but I can see you two are Mr. and Mrs. Right. But I can see that the journey broke you. And you spend the next 5 years or 10 years or 15 years of your life trying to repair, not so much because you made a mistake in marrying the wrong person. In all of my 15 years of marriage and in ministry, it is the exception that I could feel in my spirit the Lord saying they actually made a mistake marrying each other. I'm sort of doubtful about one case maybe. In all the other cases, even as traumatic as relationships were, I can see this can work. This is God. But you've stuffed up the journey. Because you made some mistakes in the journey, you've hurt one another. And so with urgency in my heart, I want to encourage you that maybe for some of you, you need to take your focus of finding Mr. and Mrs. Right and looking for that one person and pay attention to the how-to. Pay attention to the journey. And so quickly, before this time thing just catches me, Genesis 24 verse 1. So Abram was old, the Bible says. The Bible loves speaking in euphemistic language. He was 140 years old at that stage. Well advanced in age, eh? Well advanced in age. 140 years old. And the Lord had blessed Abram in all things. And so Abram said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. Now, this is a fascinating story in that we see here something very unique happening. We see Abram, who's the father of Isaac and Jacob and the Israelite nation, but the Bible also says that he's our father in the faith. Okay, I'm blessed to have a physical father who loves the Lord, and I'm so blessed to have grown up in a house where my dad taught me how to pray, taught me how to read the Bible, taught me how to love my, just through him loving my mom, taught me how to love my wife. I'm blessed in that sense. But what the Bible says is that whether we've got a good relationship with our earthly father or not, you've got a spiritual father called Abraham. The Lord gave him a promise and told him that you will have more sons and daughters than what you can count. And here sits the sons and daughters of Abraham. Okay, you are children of Abraham. He's the father of faith because he related to God in faith, and that's the way we relate to God in faith. And here we see that Abraham comes and Abraham initiates a journey for his son. Abraham says, it is time for my son to get a wife. So who initiates the seeking? Who initiates the journey of courtship? Who initiates the process of Isaac finding a wife? It didn't start with Isaac. Isaac didn't wake up one day and say, today is a good day for me to find a wife. Isaac had to trust his father to initiate the process on his behalf. And I want to say to us that very often, this is one of the biggest mistakes that we make, spiritually speaking, and that is that we jump the gun. That we set in motion things that should not be set in motion because we didn't wait for the father to initiate the process. We didn't wait for the father to say, this is a good time for my son or for my daughter to find a spouse. So what does this mean? This means that spiritually, you have to submit your heart to God. You have to submit this area of your life, this fundamental, crucial area of wanting to spend forever here on earth with somebody else. I think you'll all agree that's a massive, massive decision. Besides surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, is the single most important decision you will make. Who are you going to marry? It's a crucially important decision. You know, nobody, not even people in the world, in my house, you know, sort of a tension between the rugby and the soccer that myself and Jonathan, we want to watch. And then there's, lately it's been Survivor that we've been challenged on. And the girls, they love Werner, Pastor Werner from Secunda, who's in Survivor, was in Survivor up till this week. Still, yes, there's still a jury, he's still there. But before that, it was, what's this thing with the dress? Say yes to the dress. Anybody, any of the girls know? Say yes to the dress. It drives me insane. How many wedding dresses can one person look at per day? How many? And then it's Nikki and Annika and Kate, and they're just so excited about the girl putting on the dress and then walks out, and then the other women are there and they cry when they see her in the dress, and then she doesn't like the dress and gets another dress, and like, okay, you can sort of watch maybe one program, and then it's more and more, and it's like every week, it's like, please, this is, but there's something about it, they just love being part of that dream about being beautiful, that dream about shining, that dream about, but one day capturing somebody else's attention. And you know, even those people, my girls don't understand why the wedding ceremony is normally just so short in those programs. It's just like boom, 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 and then it's over. It's like, where's Jesus? Why don't they pray? And I'm going to explain to them, not everybody believes in Jesus. Not everybody consecrates their marriages to the Lord. But you know, none of those people who get married there, they don't know God necessarily, believe in Him. None of them stand there and say, I want to be married to you for the next 5 years and then I'm going to walk away. Nobody gets into a relationship like that thinking, how short can I keep this? How quickly can I just get what I want to get and just leave? Everybody has been created with this desire to love somebody forever and to be loved forever. Everybody. It's such an important decision that you have to make sure that you start it off on the right foot. Submit the decision to God. Ask Him. And that's what I've prayed. I was in grade 9 when grade 11, when I lost my heart on a girl. Okay, typical high school, proper crush. Okay, just fell in love with a girl and just everything, I think I shared the story last year, everything looked right, felt right. Didn't work out. We sort of were good friends, and she died in a motorcycle accident when we were at varsity, and it broke my heart. It just absolutely destroyed my heart. It took me a long time to recover from them. And I told God, God, I never want to get into a situation where I give my heart away again. But I also want to close my heart. And so, Father, I am giving you my heart. And I'm asking you that you would protect my heart until the right time comes. I pray that you will close doors and open doors. I pray that you will keep people away. I pray that you will direct me, speak to me, Father. And you know what? He's been faithful to speak to me. There were times when I thought, hey, maybe I should think about praying about this girl. And then my mom would phone me and would say, Heinrich, I've been praying for you, my son. And the Lord says, just be patient. I'm like, oh man, this is like, you know, come on, mom. Must you be so godly? You know, it's just like no getting away from this, like, yes, like it. You know, and then I would go to the Spur with a friend of mine, and he'd have this smile on his face, and I would know that smile. That smile would be, he'd been praying for me, and God has told him something for me, and I 10-1 will not like it. And look at me and says, I'm dear, say nog nie nou nie, broer. And I'm like, come on, man. I'm going to throw him with a Coke. But you know, I'd given God permission to close the doors. And I'm his sheep. And I hear his voice. And I want to encourage you, submit this part of your life to God. Say, Father, I will not move until you initiate it. I will not move until you give me the release. And people around you will begin to speak into your life and will begin to notice things around you. But you will know in your spirit. You will know. Some of you, it's a risky prayer to pray. Okay? It takes guts to pray it. Because it means that God could say to you, no, for the next 5 years, or whatever the case might be. It is worth it. It is worth it. Having God protect your heart, having people around you speak into your life, is worth it. Because the person you're going to marry is going to be your most important confidant for the rest of your life. Plus, in all likelihood, God is going to use the two of you to create another life or lives that will live for all of eternity. Think about it. You're going to come together with someone, and God is going to use you to create a life or lives that will exist forever and ever and ever. Okay, Heinrich, we're not so deep, honey. Don't go so deep. We're just here to learn about Mr. and Mrs. Wright. You cannot afford to go into this journey without your heart being submitted to your Father. Trust him. Again, it's not a big thing. It's not a spooky thing. You trust your Father. Trust your daddy. He's a good, good Father. Right, he knows the best for you. I'm glad God shut the doors on those other relationships. Otherwise, I would never have been able to marry the babe that I've been married to now. Never. You know, just, I would not have been blessed out of my socks the way that I am now because God was faithful. He closed the door. Trust your daddy to initiate the process. And so Abram speaks to Eliezer, the servant in the house, the oldest servant of the house. Many biblical scholars say that this is the same servant that Abram actually wanted to make him the heir before he had a son. When Isaac was born and God told Abram to go and sacrifice Isaac, Eliezer went with him up the mountain. So Eliezer knew Isaac probably better than Isaac knew himself. Eliezer knew him well. And so Abram says to Eliezer, Eliezer, come, grip me here, the back of my thigh. It's a vulnerable thing, vulnerable place. It means I trust you. It means I invite you close. And swear to me that you will help my boy to get a good wife. There are some men in this room, older men, that the Lord has placed an Eliezer anointing upon your life. You've got to look out for the younger men. You've got to share your story with them. You've got to open up your heart to maintain, to disciple those younger than you. Before you find Mr. and Mrs. Wright, I want to encourage you, make sure that you are surrounded by people who know you. Make sure that you have people who know you well enough to say things to you that you do not want to hear. Make sure that you are surrounded by older men, older women, ladies, who will be able to speak into your life. And this is the beauty of church. God gives us people like that. And maybe you've got an older woman, older man back at home in your community, it's your mom or your dad. But if you ask God, he will give you someone. Come and speak to Pastor Sias. Speak to the other pastor. Say, I need somebody older to speak into my life. I'm going to give you more work, Sias. It looks like I always do that when I... It is that important. Okay, you've got to make sure that you are surrounded by other people. And your peers are amazing, right? Please have accountability partners, your age, people who can speak into your life. But you know what? Very often, we are driven by the same desires. And you need somebody a little bit older than you. Somebody who's been around the block. Somebody doesn't need you to like them to be your friend. They can just give it to you straight. Somebody can look out for you. Ask you the tough questions. Why were you with 11:30 last night? That was just stupid. Don't do that again. Don't rebuke the devil. Just go home at 9. You know, just like somebody that can give you some good advice. Okay? How am I doing for time? 10 minutes. All right. And so Abram says to Eliezer, Eliezer, I want you to go. I want you to get a wife for my son. And Eliezer goes, and Eliezer doesn't go as Eliezer. Eliezer goes as a representative of Abram and Isaac. So whoever sees Eliezer sees Abram and sees Isaac. Right? So whenever you see the servant, think of it this way. That's an actual fact, Isaac himself going. Because Eliezer represents him. Eliezer goes on behalf of this family, and he goes to find this woman. Okay, and then Abram says, I want you to find this girl, and I want you to make sure of something very specific. The servant in verse 5 responds to Abram and says, Abram, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. He says, you must go and find someone, not in Canaan. I don't want you to, oh, shucks, I want to step on some toes here. I don't want you to look for a woman who isn't of the same faith as my son. I don't want you to find someone who's of different spiritual equilibrium. There's different spiritual values. There's something more at stake than just my son's happiness. There's destiny at stake. There's something more at stake than just satisfying a temporary need now to have someone. There's destiny at stake. Because it's not just about Isaac. This is about Jacob and those coming after him. And those people who are going to sit in a room in 2018 listening to some preacher talking about Mr. and Mrs. Wright. There's generations at stake. Because God desires godly offspring. And so the choices that you make right now are crucial and pivotal to the generations coming after you. And so he says, I cannot afford you to have mixture coming in. I cannot afford you. And then the son says, wow, that sounds intense, Abram. Do you have to be so fundamentalist? The servant says to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? And then Abram replies and says, beware that you do not take my son back there. Let's forget about that idea. There's no way that Isaac is going back to the land from which I've come. There's no way that we're going to compromise on the freedom that we have achieved in Christ. There's no way that we're going back to slavery. There's no way we're going back to serving other gods. The Lord God of heaven who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying to your descendants, I give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. So Abram says to him, when you get there, she might be beautiful, she might be amazing, but if she's not prepared to come back to this land, if she's not prepared to follow you into the promised land, and the promised land is our relationship with God. It's a land where we are free to be ourselves. It's a land where we know we are loved. It's a land where we are not manipulated. It's a land where we know how deeply, passionately God loves us and we follow Him. It's a land where God's voice is the most precious thing to us. It's a land where the Word of God is what drives us and not people's opinions. And He says to him, do not compromise on what is spiritually important. But you know what? Many people do in their journey, they don't sit down and think about the values they will not compromise upon. And so you end up in a situation where you're like, oh my goodness, you know, now we're disagreeing over certain things. We're in a situation where the flesh gives in and we're weak. You must decide beforehand where you will draw the line. You must decide before, and what are your values? What are the things that you will not compromise upon? What are things that are so crucial to you that you will say no? Doesn't matter how beautiful she is. Doesn't matter how nicely his cologne is and how great his car and how big his bank balance. I will not compromise on that. I will not compromise on somebody that speaks to me in that way. I will not compromise on someone that has no respect for my privacy and the sanctity of this temple. I will not compromise on that. I will not compromise. Okay, but the beautiful thing there is here that it says that she must follow him. That means, guys, the question I can ask you is, are you worth following? Are you worth following? In other words, there's a journey you are on already. You're not waiting for some girl to come and kickstart your life. You're not waiting for some girl to give you a sense of purpose. You're not doing things to impress her. You're not doing things to win a favor. You're not coming to church to impress her. You're not jumping up and down. You're not going on amp camp and missions to impress any girl. You're doing this because you are on your own journey. You are on your own journey with Christ. And the girl that falls in love with you, the girl who wins your heart, she will follow you in that journey. The same for you girls. Don't wait for some guy to give purpose to your life. You pursue God. You love God. If you look, and I just want to say this. I forgot to say it at the beginning. You don't need to be married to have an incredible relationship with God. You don't need to be married to be used powerfully by God. It doesn't make you a second-rate believer if you're not married. People who are married aren't special than those who are not married. You don't need a spouse to be validated in your identity. Okay, there's amazing beauty and strength in that, but you don't need a person to make you feel better about yourself. But have a journey, right? Have a journey. And so girls and guys, if someone doesn't have an intentional journey already of pursuing God, be careful. If you are the one kickstarting their walk with God, if you're the one encouraging them all the time, just that's an orange light right there. Okay, there needs to be an intentional focus saying, I'm on my journey with God and I invite you into that journey. Follow God with me. All right, and so the servant goes, let me rush. The servant then took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nair. Nair was about 800 kilometers away. So he takes his 10 camels and travels 800 kilometers away, all the way to Uppington from here, and goes to meet this girl. If you do not, there's a little word there. Just go, no, go back. Verse 10. Yeah, the little word there is departed. If Eliezer did not depart from where he was to go to where the woman was, he would have been without the woman and nothing would have happened. Even though the intention was there, even though the desire was there, he had to do what? He had to depart. Some of you tonight will depart from old ways. Some of you will depart from feeling guilty and ashamed about your life, feeling self-focused and self-obsessed about how you look, feeling depressed because you are single, having some bad habits in your life. Some of you will need to decide, I will depart. In other words, I will take some action. Some of you need to say, oh, God, forgive me for the actions that I've taken. Please help me. Teach me some patience. Some of you need to go back, and you know that God has spoken to you already. There is release in your heart. But man, if you don't take action, nothing much probably will happen. You need to take some action. You need to initiate. You need to be moving. Okay? And you need to say to God, God, show me. What is fascinating about Eliezer is that he goes to this. Go to verse 11. He made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Sometimes the question is, who should make the first move, the guy or the girl? The answer is yes. Both need to be positioned. Okay? Both need to be positioned. If he didn't go to the wells, and look where he went. He went to this outside the city. He went to the well of water. Why did he go to the well of water? Because he knew that's where the women go. Guys, do you know where the women go in this church? They are mostly here. They are mostly in church. and they had Bible school, and they're in small group. Well, you don't do joint small groups, eh? That's okay. But, you know, when you're a little bit older, you're not stealing anymore. There's this amazing thing called joint small groups where guys and girls are together. It's incredible. But, you know, there's mission trips and there's Bible school. You need to discover where are the girls at. And if you want to have a girlfriend, you need to go there. You need to go to the wells. You cannot be playing video games in your room and then expect God to come through for you and give you a wife. You've got to go. You've got to position yourself. Okay? I'm saying that in jest, but guys, I want to encourage you. Find out where are the girls at. And I'm not just talking physically. Okay? Where are the girls at in terms of what do they find attractive? I grew up with two brothers. So my mom was amazing, but we were pretty clueless concerning girls. The girls in church taught me a lot about girls. Because I approached them as a brother. And at one stage I hated the phrase that was used quite often. Yes, it's a booty for me. It's like, I hated it. It's like, that's not what I want to hear. Any of you guys, have you heard that? It's like, oh, this is a booty. It was patrol your net. So you're like, you know, we trust you just like a brother. And then I realized that that's quite scriptural. Because in that safe space, I began to discover what makes girls tick. What are they like? And it was a safe space for that to happen. Get into the group. Be at brides, be at parties. Be on mission trips where you can spend 5 days, 10 days with other girls in a safe environment, guys. Get to the wells. Get to the wells, okay? And start discovering where are the girls at physically and where are they at emotionally. Then my second last point, go to the next one. Then he said, "Oh Lord God of my master Abram, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abram. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give you your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." Here's something very telling for me. The first recorded prayer in Scripture. There have been a whole bunch of conversations between people and God before this. But the first recorded prayer in Scripture is this man praying that God would give him wisdom in finding a spouse. The first recorded prayer in Scripture is about a romantic relationship. It says, God, give me wisdom. So I'm going to say this to you. Finding that woman, finding that guy, do it prayerfully. Invite God into everything. It's a good test as well to find out whether am I doing what I need to be doing right now is, can you invite God into what you're doing right now? Just into that moment, just where you are, can you invite God into that thought? Can you invite God into that physical thing you're doing? Would Jesus feel welcome there? It's a good test for where your relationship is at. Do it prayerfully, right? Pray about it. Say, God, give me wisdom. Help me in this, because we mess things up. We're human beings. We don't see everything that we need to see. Do it prayerfully. Again, and then something amazing happens. It says, as it happened, before we had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother. So it's Abram's brother's granddaughter, came out with a pitcher on her shoulder. So he's still busy praying to God, and out comes this girl. Now look how the Bible describes her. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold. All right? A virgin, no man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. So here's something fascinating about this girl. Eliezer asks God something. He says, God, I want you to bring a woman across my path who will be kind to me and will be kind to the camels. In other words, I want a woman of character. I want someone who's compassionate, someone who will see me, and someone who will see the camels as well, who will have an eye for what's going on in my life. Someone who's beautiful on the inside. And I know maybe that's not what you want to hear. But character matters. Character matters. It matters now. It will matter even more 5 years in your marriage, 10 years in your marriage, 15, 20 years in your marriage. It will matter even more. Character matters. Do not ignore character. Do not ignore it. Character doesn't so much change as well. Look at character. It is important. And something happens here. The Bible says, this girl comes and she's beautiful to behold. Now, when we read that, in your mind, you've got a picture of what it is. Right? Beautiful to behold. Here's the beautiful thing about that. For each man, beauty is different. Girls, I want to encourage you. You don't have to look like the girl next to you. You don't have to look like the girl on the cover page. Look at the world's women all across the world. They look different. And we as men got different tastes. And men, I want to say to you, do not allow the world to shape your idea of what is beautiful. Okay? You don't have to have that whatever the world says you must have. Women are special and beautiful and uniquely created by God. And your heart will bond to her. You will love her. You need to be physically attracted to her as well. Right? Don't just fall in love with the character. Right? That doesn't always happen. There needs to be chemistry. There needs to be interaction. But do not make your decision based upon how she looks on the outside. Eliezer didn't ask God, give me a beautiful wife for Eliezer, for Isaac. Give me someone who's kind, who's compassionate. And then the Lord said, that's a good request. Let me put in some beauty there as well. Kabang. She's a babe. You know, so there's beauty on the outside, beauty on the inside. It says he marveled at her. Looked at her and she was amazing. Character matters. Girls, be the most beautiful you that you can be. Be the most beautiful you that you can be. Be the princess of God. God has created you to be. Don't allow any man to tell you that you must change for him. If he tells that to you, you kick him in the nether regions and get out of there. All right, this is what I tell my girls. Right, and he isn't worthy of you. If he's trying to shape you, push you into exercising more and doing more of this and doing more of that, just get behind me, Satan. Okay? You will want to be beautiful for him. That's something different. Guys, and so I'm going to finish here. I want to urge you guys, be careful with your words. You hold the next 10, 20 years of a woman's life and image in your hands. Well, here on your tongue. And what you say about her. And physically. Where you esteem. And that's why brothers, so important. I want to encourage you. I want to demystify just something and say to you that we as brothers and sisters can mean so much to one another by just speaking life over each other. You as a brother can say to a sister in church, you look beautiful today. You look beautiful. And you can mean it. Start complimenting people around you. And ladies, receive it. Okay? Receive it. Just be in the space where you're okay with being whom God has created you to be. I want to pray for you guys.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.